Welcome to YourBostonSports.com. I'm Rob Goodwin, along with my co-host John Korn. How are you today?
Hello, everybody. Doing good. How are you?
Doing very well. Very well. Yeah. Want to introduce our new property to all of our fans and listeners and viewers, YourBostonSports.com.
What new property?
Well, we're changing to a new website and a new name to kind of better describe what we're trying to accomplish.
Who authorized that? You didn't run this by me yet.
It was a decision that I made as an executive.
You made an executive decision? Yes, I made consulting the board of directors?
I did. So the new site, yourbostonsports.com, and you'll notice our Twitter feed and our Facebook page will eventually be changed to say Your Boston Sports, and hopefully be able to provide...
So it's no longer Red Sox Alley?
No longer Red Sox Alley.
Boston Sports.
Your Boston Sports.
YourBostonSports.com. And when does that take effect?
That's pretty much taking effect probably in a couple of days. We already started the new site.
YourBostonSports.com.
Yeah, we already started the new site. So one-stop shopping for Boston sports. And as we get into the fall, especially with Patriots and Celtics, and of course the Bruins playing now in the playoffs, tied up with...
great series.
Yeah, with the Canadiens.
Great series.
Exactly. So that's the plan. And let's get right to the Red Sox. One game under 500 after last night's 8-0 loss to the Rangers.
Almost a no-hitter Darvish.
Yeah. He pitched a great game. Someone said that a bunch of All-Stars wouldn't have gotten any hits against him either. You agree with that?
They're all major leaguers. I mean, how hard is it to throw almost 7 perfect innings and then a one-hitter to any major league team?
Exactly.
Kudos to him, man.
Absolutely. And let's look at Buchholz. He's kind of disappointing at this point. His line last night was 4 1/3, 6 runs, 6 earned runs, 10 hits. What's going on with Buchholz? Have you lost faith?
I don't know. I think he can't play hurt at all. The least, I don't know. What do you think?
I just don't think mentally at this point his makeup is allowing him to be seriously into the game, understanding what he has to do.
He'll have a stiff neck and he'll be out for 2 months. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But they say he's not hurt right now, right? He's fine. They're saying he's fine.
Maybe the slightest thing throws him off. Maybe he,
like a hangnail?
Yeah, like the guy that calls in sick all the time,
I know that guy.
Yeah. Are you one of them?
I am not that guy. No, I am not that guy. No, absolutely not.
I don't know. Yeah, there's something wrong with him physically, mentally, or, he simply can't play hurt. He needs to be comfortable all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to suck it in, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, he'll go on a run of, 5-6 wins in a row where he'll be lights out.
Get the feeling when he's feeling perfect and everything's going well. He's almost unhittable.
Mm-hmm.
The minute something's not right, it ain't right.
That's right.
He doesn't adjust.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
I'd like to see him be a little tougher.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that like a pitcher, a really good pitcher will get in trouble and then figure it out.
Yeah.
He'll work his way out of it.
Like Curt Schilling did that.
He'll change his. He'll redefine himself during the game.
Right, right.
Exactly. And maybe he can't do that. I don't know.
Maybe. So a lot of people are disappointed with the way the hitting has gone so far, especially with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, they basically suck in that.
Well, Bogart's hitting 125 with runners in scoring position. His average isn't that bad, but when you look at runners in scoring position, he's obviously having a tough time producing. He's hitting 263. That's not so bad.
No.
But, you got to remember, they've got Bogarts in there. I'm still looking at Middlebrooks as someone who's still, picking up, still learning, and so when you have a couple players like that in there, Jackie Bradley Jr. is hitting 205. That's not helping the situation either.
He's pretty good with men in scoring position, though. He's batting about 370. Yeah, Jackie Bradley.
Driving in runs.
With men in scoring position.
Yeah. But, I was thinking that, when you think about it, two players really forced the Red Sox hand. Well, especially one, Drew, by not signing the contract for $14.1 million.
Has anyone signed him?
No.
Wow.
He forced them to play Bogarts at short. There's no question about that. And then Ellsbury leading, he was going to leave anyways. I don't think any amount of money that the Red Sox were willing to offer him would have made a difference at all. And people said, well, he's going to want to play out west because the weather's warmer, and here he is in New York. But, you know, Drew really forced the Red Sox to go with Bogarts. And so basically, you know, they bit the bullet and said, we're going to go with these two young players. And, you know, there are times where that certainly impacts the amount of production they're getting from the lineup.
I'll tell you what. I mean, what's the answer, though?
I stick with it.
I stick with it. Absolutely. Because they got a good infield. They got a good starting rotation. They got a good bullpen. They got two catchers that are old. That makes me a little nervous. But other than that, I mean, okay, so they don't have a guy like Verlander or they don't have that a guy like Kershaw. You know, the real ace that can. But they got a pretty solid 5-man rotation.
Absolutely. I was looking at the ERA. I mean, Lester 2.59, PV 3.09, Lackey 3.72. Those are your top three. And then DeBrant 5.09, Buchholz 6.44. Your top three. I mean, how can you beat
that? The bullpen's been outstanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Breslow and Miller struck out 6 batters between the two of them. And
Badenhop hasn't given up a run in 10 outings. I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, Mujica pitched one inning last night. So he hadn't gotten into a game in quite a while. Tozawa had 1 bad outing. Okay, no big deal. Capuano has been good. Miller's been good. Uehara has pitched with runners on every now and then, but he's 8-for-8, I think.
I mean, last night doesn't count. I mean, Darvish wasn't going to. Nobody's going to beat him last night.
Right, exactly.
But the only problem I see with the Red Sox is they seem to have problems scoring runners. What game was it last week? 2 innings in a row they led off the inning. 8th and 9th inning. Mm-hmm. They left the inning with a double, and he couldn't
score. Yeah.
Man on second base with nobody out, nothing.
Yep.
Couldn't score. You can't have that.
No, you can't. And you know, obviously, you've got to score runs earlier. They can't keep playing behind like they've been playing. They keep, you know, falling behind 4-0, 5-0, and they've won a couple of those games, but it's very difficult, you know, to set that precedent and having to claw your way back every single game. That's hard.
But the thing is, to have things not go your way in the beginning of the season. I mean, they say every game counts, and it does, but they're not playing this way. It's not September.
Right.
They're not doing this in September.
And look, Bogarts is only going to get better. Jackie Bradley Jr. is only going to get better, I think. He's great, great defensively.
Did the Yankees win last night?
Yes.
So they
won with Tanaka.
They're 3 games up. They're 3 games out of first place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big deal.
1 game under 500. Yeah. So
it could be like this for all year. I mean, you could see the whole division within reach of the of first place.
Right.
For the whole year.
Exactly.
I mean, you got 5 good teams.
Right. And you know, I want to talk about the outfield situation a little bit. You know, what a change to have a player play his first full season in the majors, being the top 10 in a couple of batting categories in the American League, win a World Series, and he's back at AAA, Daniel Nava. It's a tough business, I'll tell you. You know, and if the Red Sox hadn't brought in Grady Sizemore, one could argue that Nava would still be in Boston, kind of working his way through. But, you know, it's a tough business where, you know, the Red Sox did bring in Grady Sizemore, figuring he might be helping center field, and he's not. He's helping in left field and right field. Nava's out. Mm-hmm. You know, and they say Nava's starting to pick it up at Pawtucket as well. But it really makes you think about, you know, how these guys are on a roster one year and the next year they're not.
Oh, yeah.
You know? What do you think of this rotation with Gomes and Sizemore left?
I'm surprised Carp, we don't see him more often. I'm surprised we don't see Sizemore more often in center field and Carp more often in left.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because Sizemore kind of scared them a little bit with his defense and misjudging fly balls in center field.
I mean, because Bradley's not hitting, so you would think they would. I don't know, maybe put Carp in the lineup more often. Maybe they will.
Well, I think they want to stay strong up the middle, and they're strong up the middle, you know, in the best way.
By so having Bradley's Bradley in there Jr. for defensive purposes,
right.
And Sizemore. They figure he's safer over and left.
So. Right. And he'll platoon with Gomes.
Carp doesn't play center, does he?
No. Well, the problem was created by Shane Victorino coming back. That's what really prompted Nava being sent down to AAA. And Victorino, obviously, he's a winner. He's got to be in there. Right? I mean, he's...
Oh, he's the best right fielder.
He's a terrific, he's a terrific player. Terrific guy to have in the lineup.
He's one of the best
outfielders in baseball. Absolutely. No question. So I think, you know, obviously John Farrell thinks that the best lineup is the one where they have the platoon with Gomes and Sizemore, Jackie Bradley Jr. in center, and Victorino in right. Karp will spell, I guess, left, right, or first base, occasionally with Napoli. But Napoli's, well, you would tell me, he's seen the most pitches of anyone in the American League,
yeah.
Napoli?
The last year, too.
Even though he strikes out a lot, but he's striking out less this year, I think.
He wears out a pitcher. He's good. Good at that.
Yeah. Well, and plus, if he can strike out less, you know, he's putting more balls in play. He's getting more walks, so that can only be a good thing.
But I mean, what changes would you make right now? I wouldn't. Maybe a younger catcher.
Maybe, but at this point in time, in the middle of the season, you're kind of locked in.
I mean, how do you? I think they're eventually going to start playing better.
I think so too.
They're a good team.
The only way you get a younger catcher is if either Ross or Pierzynski gets hurt, because then you're going to call somebody up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they're going to get a younger catcher.
Yeah.
You know. I agree. I think they got to. I hate to agree with you. We haven't really disagreed on anything yet today.
No.
But you know, you got to look at it. That I think they've got to stay the course.
Yeah.
No question.
I mean, Bradley's a disappointment at the plate, and Bogarts too, but.
Bogarts, if you said told me he's going to hit 265, I'd say, you know, I'll take it. He's only going to get better.
If Drew had signed with them, though, they'd be better off.
They'd be better off,
yeah.
And I think Middlebrooks would be elsewhere, AAA or somewhere, because I think Bogarts is going to be a third baseman at that point. Don't you think Bogarts over Middlebrooks?
Oh, definitely.
But just
for defensive purposes.
But at the same time, don't you think... If you leave Bogarts in there, you leave Middlebrooks in there, you leave Jackie Bradley Jr. in there, don't you think they're just going to get better? They're going to start producing. By the time you hit, you know, mid-season, hopefully July, you know, July, August.
I would think.
I mean, I think the Red Sox are right to do that.
Bogarts is going to be a star. He's going to be a great player.
Right.
So, yeah, leave him in there.
Yeah.
That's what they used to do in the old days. They bring a guy up and just play him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the Red Sox are unwilling to... You know, to keep older players forever and pay them $20 million, they'd rather kind of, you know, Ellsbury, okay, well, look, we have another answer, a less expensive answer and a younger answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to do that, obviously.
The Cardinals are doing it.
Mm.
They didn't sign Pujols.
Right, right.
And they've won two world championships. No, they've won a world championship.
And lost one.
And there were two World Series since Pujols left.
Exactly.
So you don't have to have that superstar.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to have that superstar at age 40.
No.
Either. And tell me, tell me Derek Jeter is not a liability in the field right now. He said one home run, and in the field, not the same.
I don't care how good you are. 40-year-old shortstop? No.
Not a
shortstop.
I'm going to make a prediction.
First baseman, maybe. DH. Outfielder, mm-hmm. even. But a shortstop? You got to be.
Shortstop who's had ankle problems, big
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of range.
Right,
you know?
Right. All right, here's my prediction.
What's your prediction?
All-Star game. Derek Jeter will start at shortstop, lead off, and they will throw him a meatball. He'll hit a home run on the first pitch of the game. Just like Cal Ripken.
Are you getting a little tired of this? Okay, between Mariano Rivera having a ceremony every single city he went to all year, and now we got to listen to the same thing with Jeter. I got to think even Joe Girardi, the Yankee manager, might be getting sick of this stuff. Okay, I got a team to put on the field. I don't need the pomp and circumstance every time I go to a city. I would bet you a dollar that he's thinking that himself.
That could be.
It's ridiculous. Babe Ruth and Jackie Robinson, the two guys that founded major, they defined modern baseball. Where was the big ceremonies for them?
Did they do anything for Yaz at all the parks?
Babe Ruth was dying of cancer, okay, and he made one more appearance at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Had this big ceremony for him. He gave a little speech once.
What about Yaz?
Lou Gehrig, that famous I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth speech once.
What about Yaz?
Once. Okay. What about Mariano Rivera? 165 times. And that the thing that really irritated me was when he autographed the bullpen. He's such a humble man. No, if he's a humble man, he's not going to autograph the bullpen at Fenway Park.
I told you what I thought. The Yankees put the plaque out before he was even retired.
Do you realize
in Minden Park?
Do you realize who's been in that Fenway Park bullpen over the years? Walter Johnson, Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan. I mean, one great pitcher after another has warmed up. But we got to have Mariano Rivera's autograph.
But they pitch as many times as he pitched at Fenway Park, and in as many key games. I don't know. I agree. Signing the bullpen. That thing needs a fresh coat of paint.
I want Yaz to autograph Yankee Stadium's dugout. Mm. Then I'll be happy.
Right, right.
So you Yankee fans, get Yaz at Yankee Stadium, have him autograph the dugout, and then I'll stop whining about Mariano Rivera autographing the bullpen at Fenway Park.
That's right.
Please. I mean, come on. Now we got to watch the same show all over again with Jeter.
Exactly.
What's going to happen next year? Who's going to retire next year from the Yankees?
I don't know. Hopefully they'll all stay for a while. All right, so I'm gonna tell you what I said many times over the winter. This instant replay is a bad idea. You cannot have a situation where you have stoppage of play on the base paths when you're trying to figure out was somebody safe or out, and what happens to the guy who went from first base to home plate on a bunt. You can't do that. You cannot have all the camera angles you need in order to guarantee that you'll have a better angle than the umpires had. You cannot guarantee it like you can in football. The field is rectangular. You've got lines on the field that determine whether a receiver had his feet down or not. And you'll have a camera angle on almost every situation. This is ridiculous. They can't even figure out if a ball landed on the chalk or not down the line. They can't even figure that out. This was a bad idea, and I implore Major League Baseball to stop it. I implore all fans, if you don't think that instant replay has any place in baseball, okay, maybe down the lines it does, if a home run's fair or foul. But if you think that instant replay needs to stop, anytime they pull that stupid headset set out and they start listening to what the MLB people in New York are saying, boo the umpires off the field. This has got to stop. Do you agree?
I agree completely.
Or am I going too far?
No, I like it. I did a rant on Mariano Rivera. You just did a rant on the umpires.
But so the fans need to boo every time an appeal is done. You're not booing the manager for doing it because he's doing something that he's able to do. But what you are doing is booing the process.
It's changing the game. It's not. What's the most exciting play on the field? The bang bang play they call it, the double play,
right.
You know, or the really close play at home plate.
Right.
They're ruining it.
How many frames per second do you have to slow it down to see if a guy's foot went on the bag when the ball reached first base? How many frames per second? One? One frame every 3 seconds? Oh, we got to roll that back one more time. Oh, no, stop.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I feel the same way in football, but let's not talk about football.
Once in a while, an umpire makes a mistake. Once in a while, a third baseman makes an error. That's part of the game.
I have a solution. The solution is, allow instant replay when it comes to a ball hit down the line, whether it's fair or foul and a home run. Not on the field, but in the stands, okay? And the other thing to do is talk to the umpires and say, be human about things. When there's a play and a manager starts to argue, be willing to talk about it. And if you stick with the play the way it was called and the manager doesn't agree with it, then you follow the rules and throw them out when it's appropriate. But get together if you think there's any chance at all that the play should have been ruled differently. Get together as human beings, talk about it, and make a decision. This instant replay thing's got to go. Fans, boo this process off the field.
The only thing that works is if you treat the umpires like you treat the players, okay? You get rid of a bad umpire, you keep a good umpire. If a shortstop is making errors all the time, you send them down to the minors, okay? Or you release them. That's what you do with an umpire.
But you know what the bad...
It's too much of a good old boys club or
you're
something.
You're right, but the bad news is that these umpires get vacations during the season. So instead of sending them down, they're bringing umpires up periodically to work games from the minor leagues. So really, it's the opposite effect that happens in reality. I mean, these umpires don't work every single game, every single week. They get vacation time during the season.
But there's good umpires and there's lousy ones.
That's true.
Just like there's good players and there's lousy ones. You put the best players on the field and you put the best umpires on the field.
Right, right.
Okay? And in postseason, you take the best umpire, you take the cream of the crop, mm-hmm. and you put them on the field just for the same reason the cream of the crop is on the field.
Right.
The players.
Yep.
Okay, the two best teams in baseball mm-hmm. were on the field in a World Series last year. The best umpiring crew should have been on there.
Good point.
That's all you got to do.
Right. And if they make a mistake?
And they make a mistake, they make a mistake. It's
right.
just like if a guy makes the greatest player in the world can make an error. Right,
right. right.
That's all you do. It's Look, common sense.
They're only human. I hate to say it. They only have two eyes. What are you going to do?
It's part of the game.
No, I agree with you. I mean, if they interpret the rule wrong or rule incorrectly, right. that's different.
Or you know? If an umpire sees something that the other one didn't. Remember the time A-Rod knocked the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand mm-hmm. in the postseason and the other umpire saw it and they reversed the call?
Right.
Stuff like that.
Exactly,
you know, he
exactly.
didn't see it. The other guy did.
Right, right.
You know, or exactly. a home run. You know, the home plate umpire saw something that the third base mm-hmm. umpire didn't for some reason.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
Exactly, exactly.
I wouldn't be for instant replay for anything except maybe the home run. Maybe
yeah,
the fair foul
in the
home
stands,
run.
Not on the not to see if a ball hit the chalk.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's working either. And John Farrell would agree. I think there's several managers that would agree that that's not working.
So, but if umpires are making bad calls, you just have to get another umpire. Mm-hmm. You know, just like if a catcher is making calling a bad game, you get another catcher.
Right. Yeah. Or you make that catcher not work with that particular pitcher.
I mean, you treat them like you treat the players.
Sure.
You put the best ones on the field.
But you also have to, like I said, I think you have to make sure that they understand they're expected to get together and talk about things.
Oh, yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
Unless an umpire says, I know for a fact I made that right call because I heard the ball hit the first baseman's mitt before the runner's lead foot hit the bag. If you're sure of it, umpire, stick with it. No need to talk to anyone, and we'll take your word for it.
Now, do you think they will get rid of this replay fiasco?
It's tough for an organization like MLB or anybody to admit they're wrong, and that's what they would have to do. And they have to yank all of the technology that they've spent tens of millions of dollars on. So I really don't see them yanking it. I see them trying to improve it. And poor Joe Torre is the one who's going to do it.
What if they said, okay, we're not going to do it for the out at first base, and we're going to use it for foul balls, fair and foul balls, home runs, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll do something like that.
I would be okay with that. I think that'd be a
what's next? Balls and strikes. They're going to start reviewing balls and strikes.
Yeah. No, that'd be a vast improvement if they did that. I think fans should boo the process off the field. I think the only way they really change it in a big way is if the fans speak loud and clear. I think that's got to happen.
You know what else it takes away from in the game? There's a thing called judgment. There's common sense stuff called like the neighborhood play, for example, where the shortstop in a double play situation, mm-hmm. he doesn't actually touch the base. He kind of goes around it and throws it. You know, it's,
right.
And they kind of look the other way because for the safety of the short, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Or last night, Darvish is throwing a no-hitter. Well, guess what? The strike zone's going to get a little bit bigger for him, okay? Because he deserves it because he's throwing such a great game.
Right.
You know, he's throwing on the outside corner a little bit. So you give him the benefit mm-hmm. of the doubt more often. Stuff like that's called judgment.
Right, right.
This thing subtracts from that. There's no mm-hmm. more judgment. It's all black and white and boom, boom, boom. That's not part of the game.
Right, black and white with some guys sitting in a control room in New York.
Yeah. Part of the game is a judgment call.
Right, right.
Dennis Eckersley was saying that. He goes, I never threw a strike in my life. I was always throwing inside. That's how I got these guys
right,
out.
Exactly.
You know, and the umpires gave it to me because that's mm-hmm. that's how I pitched.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. I agree. So we'll see if the fans take our advice. We'll see where this instant replay thing goes.
See how much of an impact
goes.
We have on the fans.
Exactly. We'll see how this instant replay thing plays out and what changes that MLB and Joe Torre make. By the way, Joe Torre is the commencement speaker at the University of Hartford right here in West Hartford, Connecticut on May 18th.
All right.
All the graduates of the University of Hartford are going to hear Joe Torre speak, which I think is great. Great. Not a bad choice. And I want to remind all of our viewers, listeners, and fans about our new property, yourbostonsports.com. So check it out. Check out the website. And keep an eye out on the Twitter feed, which will change to yourbostonsports.com, as well as the Facebook page. And we welcome everyone to keep in touch. Let us know your opinions. We think we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Any predictions this year yet?
I think the Bruins are going to beat the Canadiens. Mm. Yeah. Tied up 2-2 heading into game five tonight.
Game five tonight, yep.
And a rookie, Matt Fraser, come up from Providence and score the game winner in overtime last night, which is quite exciting.
It's nice to see a rivalry like that.
Right.
Going at it.
And don't forget the Patriots signed Dominique Easley, inside pass rusher, which hopefully will help out. And they also signed Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois, the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary Garoppolo. So they think that he may be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. And
big shoes to fill.
Yeah, big shoes, but he's got some time. And potentially they're saying Ryan Mallett might be traded to make room on the roster. I hope I'm saying that right, Garoppolo.
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois. Got a couple of more rounds to go today, I guess. So a lot of exciting things going on in Boston. Of course, the Celtics are going to retool this season after this disappointment, but an expected disappointment of a season with Brad Stevens, his first year as head coach. But I think lottery pick and some more moves that things could look up. So we hope to cover all that on yourbostonsports.com. Thanks, John, for joining me in the studio.
You call me John. You usually call me Corn.
Oh, I'd be more formal now.
Yeah, okay.
John Corn.
John Corn.
Well, thanks for joining me in the Central Connecticut studios.
Central Connecticut.
It's been a great time. Have a great day, everyone.